It is good to see each and every one of you here this morning on this Labor Day weekend. Our God is a good God, amen? He's not only a good God, He's a great God. And that song we heard this morning just ought to really resonate within us. You know, one day this old world's passing away, but God says His word will stand. And I'm so thankful this morning that we can be in church to hear another message from the Word of God unto us this morning, because His Word stands. You know, I got to thinking about that this week. I'm going to have opportunity to get up, and what a privilege it is to preach the Word of the Lord. But I got to thinking, you know, one of the things that we need to do is to receive the Word of the Lord in our heart. That's your choice this morning. And I hope you've come to church. I hope you're listening on the live stream. I hope that anybody who listens to this message later on the web will understand that church is all about allowing the Word of God to affect our heart. If we just come to church, but we never allow God's Word to get anywhere near our heart, you know, I'm coming to the conclusion, the older I get, we just wasted our time. Our heart is the most important thing. And God talks about our heart in several passages throughout His Holy Word. God's interest is your heart. And so as we get ready to preach this morning, I'd just like you to think about your heart. And I'd like to ask you a question this morning. Are you going to be courageous enough to allow God's Word to come down to your heart? I think that's what Jesus was getting at when He said, "He who has an ear, let him hear." I think He was talking about the ear of the heart. You know, all throughout the Word, God says He's going to give us, reward us, according to that which is within our heart. I wonder this morning what God would find in our heart. I hope it's a desire to live for Him, to love Him as never before, to grow in Him, to be excited about Him, to just live, utterly live for Him and Him alone. If you're joining us for the very first time, either in person here or on the live stream or later on the web, you need to know that we're coming to the fourth message in our current series entitled The Marks of a Christian, a True Disciple of Christ. And throughout this particular sermon series, where you've heard the same question over and over again, you're going to hear it a lot this morning. If someone were to accuse you of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict? Family and friends, the trial of our Christian faith is proved first by our walking in the light as He is in the light. Secondly, as we walk in the light, as we've learned, the trial of our Christian faith is seen in that we have washed in the blood. And then third, the trial of our Christian faith is seen in our obedience to God and His holy word. And so again, we've been asking the question, if someone were to accuse you of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict? Are you aware of this, that the Bible teaches for the eyes, 2 Chronicles 16:9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him? The Bible teaches in Psalm 7 and 11, God judges the righteous and God is angry with the wicked every day. And so when I think about these verses, clearly the Bible pictures both the righteous and the unrighteous standing daily in the courtroom of God, for the eyes of God are running throughout the whole earth. And so family and friends, it is right to picture our life of faith as a trial. And you all know that if you've ever been to a trial, there's always a verdict. A conviction's always going to occur one way or another. And so again, I'm glad I asked that question this morning. I really want you to take this seriously. If someone were to accuse you of being a Christian, Would there be enough evidence to convict? Now, we've said from the very beginning, I heard something up in Sunday school class this morning. When God looks at us, who should he be seeing? Jesus. That's really what we're asking in this question. If someone were to accuse you of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict? Let's phrase it this way. Would they see Jesus in you? In me? We've said from the beginning that the purpose of this series is to encourage us to do what God asks, and that is to examine ourselves to be certain that we bear the marks of a Christian, a true disciple of Christ. Why is this so important? Because we live in a day and an age of great falsehood. A day and an age when people believe you don't need to count the cost of following Christ. A day and an age when people believe grace abounds so that we can live any way we want. After all, grace got it covered. And God wants you and I to know, friends, that that's just not true. The word of our Lord says in Romans chapter 6, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him and by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Be finding in your Bibles this morning the book of 1 John chapter 2, be finding verse 7, and when you get there, if you are able, would you please rise as we honor the Lord with the reading of his word this morning. 1 John chapter 2, verse 7. If you're there, say amen. The word of our Lord says unto us, brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness, even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Would you bow your head with me in prayer? Father, we just thank you for your word unto us this morning, and may we receive it as such. For this is the word of our Lord unto us. And, oh Lord, as we've spoken already, may we receive your word in the only place it will ever do us any good, and that is in our heart. For every issue of a man's life stems and comes from his heart. And, Lord, we pray that in this world in which we're living today, that we would be a true light unto those who are still in darkness. We pray, Father, for us, that as we go through this series of messages, that, oh Lord, would you help us bear the marks of a Christian, a true disciple of Christ. It's in his name that we pray this morning, because his name is the only name that is worthy. Lord, you have said that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess the Lord Jesus. Oh Lord, help us to bow and humble ourselves today and to receive your word as it is given unto us. In Christ's name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. Now you keep your Bibles open. Don't just sit down, close them up. But you can go ahead and be seated this morning, and I'd like you to take your Bible, and I'd like you to turn over to the book of 2 Peter chapter 1. Just go back one book. You'll find 2 Peter, find that first chapter, because what Peter writes here is going to help us understand in greater detail what it means to abide in the light. And so I'm going to begin about verse 4. So if you're there, say amen. And 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. So God, we're talking here this morning about abiding in the light, and you might be wondering, well, what does that mean? And Peter gives us some great detail, helps us to understand in greater detail what John is speaking about. And I want you to note again, you have your Bible open, keep it open, I pray. And Peter writes, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Well, what does Peter mean by these great and precious promises? And God's Word answers that for us, because Jesus said, all that the Father hath given me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. That is, the rest and the commitment of our heart and of our life to Christ. That's how you find rest unto your soul. Another wonderful promise he says is that he that hath the Son hath life, and being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Oh, what a wonderful, special song we had here this morning. She is preaching. Did you understand that when you heard her sing? She was preaching what I just preached. By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. 1 Peter 1:23. All these wonderful promises are ours when we come to saving knowledge in Jesus Christ. Now that's the first part of 2 Peter 1:4. But Peter goes on here, and I want you to note the second half of this verse. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And this is in itself a tremendous statement, because the corruption of the world is that which is within us, and the pollution of the world is that which is outside of us. Now, family and friends, there's a great deal of talk going on in the world at any given time about cleaning up our environment, getting the pollution taken care of, and the general belief behind all of that is that if you can clean up the environment, then you're going to produce nicer people. Well, I'm sorry if you believe that. And I'm going to say that again right into the camera. I'm sorry if you believe that out there, because that's nothing more than secular humanism. My Bible tells me that even if we do clean up the environment, guess what it's not going to do? It's not going to do anything about this old nature. And that's what really needs to be cleaned up, that old nature within us. It not only needs to be cleaned up, friend, it needs to be changed. And only God can change our old nature. Only God can give us a new nature. Sadly today, you know what too many people do when they go to church? They just go for a little anti-pollution program on Sundays. They just want to go and participate in a little ritual, a little washing, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. But, you know, you can be religious right down to your fingertips and still be as corrupt as anyone can be. How can we know that's true? Well, I don't know about you. Perhaps it's just me. But I've noticed something through the years that a lot of people who are so nice on Sunday morning, boy, they sure aren't that way come Monday morning, and they're not that way all the rest of the week. Oh, they can look good, they can act good on Sunday, but they just don't act that way the whole rest of the week. And do you want to know why that is? Because when they went to church on Sunday, all they went through was a little anti-pollution service down there at their church. You see, they had their ears tickled. They heard a little sermonette. It just kind of filtered over them and enough to tell them, you know, y'all good people doing the best you can. And Jesus didn't preach that way, did he? Jesus didn't preach so, well, you know, y'all good people just go out there and do the best you can. That's not what the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us that we have an old nature, a corrupt nature, and this old nature and this corrupt nature, it needs to be changed, it needs to be transformed, and only God can do that. If you and I are going to escape the corruption of this world, we're going to have a new nature. That means we're going to have to be born again. Are you among the company of the twice born, or are you among the company of the once born, twice dead? Friend, where are you residing today? If we've truly come to Christ, we are partakers of His divine nature. We have escaped the corruption of the world through lust. Now that doesn't mean we've lost our old nature. For as long as you and I are alive in this body of flesh, we are going to face a continual battle, a continual struggle between our old nature and our new nature. And where do you think the best illustration of that can be found? Well, if you guess the Bible, you're right, because it's right here in God's Word. We're all familiar with the story of the prodigal son, amen? And the Bible says this in Luke 15:11, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portions of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Now I want you to note, the son could go off into the far country because he still had his old nature. He could spend his money in riotous living. He could get down in the pig pen of life because he had his old nature. But he was, the Bible tells us, a partaker of the nature of his father. And his daddy didn't live in a pig pen. His father lived up yonder in a beautiful place called heaven. And that's where my dad is living today. I know Jesus as my Savior, and my Heavenly Father's in a beautiful place called heaven. And I pray you could say the same thing this morning. And his father, I want you to know, believed in godliness. And his father believed in cleanliness. And in his father's house was the nourishing food of the Word of God. Now, if you're listening this morning, say amen. That boy would not have been his father's son if he eventually hadn't said, I will arise and go to my father. He had to say it. And I want you to note also that not one of the pigs went with him. You could not find a pig in that pig pen who was going to go with him, who would say it, and that still holds true even today. You see, you can take a pig, you can wash it all up, you can make that thing look like the darling in the county fair, it'll even win you a blue ribbon. But you take that pig home and it's going right back to what it does, getting right back in the pig pen. And I want you to think about this as well. You can take a pig, clean him up, and he may even go to church for a while. That pig may even become a deacon, a trustee, a Sunday school teacher, even a preacher. But eventually that pig is going to return to the pig pen because, friends, that's just the nature of pigs. Amen? But the son, the son was a partaker of the nature of his father. And every true son eventually returns home. And the point is this, you and I who are in Christ are the children of the living God. We have his nature, and that's why we can understand God's word when it's spoken unto us, because he speaks to us through his word, and his spirit confirms what we're hearing. The spirit of God living inside of us makes God's word real to us. Now, what I'm about to say is very, very important for us to understand. And the reason it is so important is because many people today do not understand salvation. Salvation is in three tenses. Paul, writing to his son in the faith, Timothy, wrote, 2 Timothy 3:15, that the scriptures are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Well, since Timothy was already saved, why did Paul write that? And what does he mean by that? Exactly what the Word of God teaches. That is, I have been saved, the past tense. I am being saved, the present tense. And I shall be saved, the future tense. And note how Scripture bears the truth of this out. 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We are not yet like the Lord Jesus. All of us ought to be able to say we haven't arrived yet, and all of us ought to be saying, praise the Lord, he's a working on me. Is God a working on you? Are you beginning to shine more and more like the light of Christ? I pray. Family and friends, if we're going to abide in the light, what is God getting at here? He's getting at the fact that we must be maturing Christians. In other words, after a person is born again, that's not the end all, but that's the way modern church looks like it. Just pray that prayer, you're good to go. That's not what the Bible teaches. Oh, that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that we're to grow up unto him in all things. The Bible teaches that we're to become spiritual giants. The Bible teaches that we're to become like Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but I've never met anybody yet, myself included, who when I came to ask Jesus to be my Savior, boom, I was just like Jesus, right like that. Do you know anybody who immediately was just like Jesus? No. We are to be growing up unto him. In other words, we're not to stay in the crib crying out, Dada, Dada, or Mama, Mama, all the time. We're to be growing up unto him all the rest of our life as we walk with him. You know, and that got me to thinking, now, you know, every now and again, a little baby, you feed him, you got to burp him. But, you know, if we're a grown Christian, we shouldn't have to be burped every once in a while. We ought to be growing up past that. And so, we should get to a place, every Christian should get to a place where they begin to grow up. Now, look here again at 2 Peter chapter 1. He goes on in verse 5. And besides this, giving all diligence. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Peter writes, and besides all this, give what? Give diligence. The Christian life, according to the Bible, friends, is serious business. But in our day, people have made it an extracurricular activity. In our present day thinking, we're not to take our faith to work, to school, or into our community. We're not to talk about our faith in our social circles. We're only to treat our faith as we do our Sunday meeting, go to meeting clothes, just trot it out there once a week, and that's good enough, and say no more. That's the way modern man thinks. But that's not at all what God says. God says we are to give all diligence. Can I ask you a question this morning? Are you giving all diligence to your walk with God? I mean all diligence. Are you working at it? Are you growing in it? And then he goes on and he adds the graces that we're to add to our faith. Now understand, these are not like dominoes. You can't just line them up and then topple one and boom, they all go down. Nor is it like stacking bricks to make a building. No, the Christian life is a life of growth. That's why God says we're to grow up unto Him in all things. We're to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory both now and forever. Amen. 2 Peter 3:18. And the best way we can illustrate that is to ask you to think about a very small tree that you have seen planted. And now 5, 10, 15 years have gone by, and that tree's no longer small, is it? That tree's developing. It's growing. It started out about like this, and now it's about like this, and it's growing. It started out with just a few branches. Now it's got a lot of branches. It started out with just a few leaves, and man, now that thing's got all kind of leaves on it. In much the same way, the Christian life is to be a life of growth and development. Do you realize that out there on the mountainside right now, as I speak, two things are happening that are actually a transfiguration? The vegetation that is living is growing, and the vegetation that is dead is decaying. Those are the two processes taking place out there on the mountainside right now as I speak. And family and friends, God is simply saying to you and I this morning that if you as a child of God are to grow, you are going to have to abide in the light. What light? The light of His holy word. You're going to have to abide in it. And Peter writes, add to your faith virtue. And the faith, of course, must be saving faith. The faith we've already spoken about that gives us our new nature, our divine nature. It is to be faith that forgives us of our sin and produces righteousness in our lives. And you know, down through the centuries, some English words have changed their meaning. And virtue is one of them. Virtue to a Roman in the first century meant a great deal more than chastity. It characterized the very finest of Roman manhood. Strength, valor, courage, excellence. And these same qualities should also characterize the life of God's child. Why? Because our world today is in desperate need for God's people to stand up for what is right according to the Word of God. Peter writes, we're to add knowledge. That is, we are to know God in all His glory. I ask you a question this morning. Do you know the height, the depth, the length, and the breadth of God? Is there anybody here that will say, I know all there is to know about God? Where to add knowledge? Or where are we going to find that? In the Word of God. Where to know God in all of His glory? Family and friends, how can we know God and add to our knowledge of God if we're not found abiding in the light of God's Word? You know as well as I do, we can't grow if we do not abide in the light of the Word of God. Now let's consider what modern man believes in this age of grace for a moment. Do you realize that many people today do not believe that the Bible is the Word of God? They believe it's just a compilation of man-made stories. Is that true? Is that what you believe? Here's what I believe. The Bible is God-breathed. It is God's Word to man. And the more you study it, and the more you share it with others, the more the Spirit of God confirms the Word of God in your heart. And the reason so many today do not share the Word of God is simply because they do not know the Word of God. And let's face it, nobody's going to be apt to share what has not been confirmed in their heart. The very danger, the slippery slope that many have bought is the erroneous belief that they can have faith in God apart from the Word of God. Is that even possible? No, it isn't, according to the Word of God, Romans 10 and 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Have you heard the Word of God so that you can be saved? Has God's Word been confirmed in your heart? And then Peter writes, add to knowledge temperance. And temperance means patience and self-control. And you know, many people think they've learned all there is to know about patience if they can hold out in the long checkout line at a supermarket without losing their temper. They think they got patience cornered. But of course, that's not patience. Patience is being able to endure. Patience is being able to stand strong for Christ when the trials of life come upon you. Patience is endurance built up through the knowledge of God and courage. List like a growing tree, a Christian is to be growing in courage and in knowledge, self-control, and endurance. And then Peter writes, add godliness. Now, godliness is another word that's lost its meaning in our world today. But friend, it means exactly what it says. Be like God. And every child who has truly been born into the kingdom wants to be like God. That's why Paul wrote about the nature of a child, Ephesians 5:1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Now the nature of a child is to imitate their parents. And if God is truly your Savior and your Father, you're just going to want to imitate Him. You just have a desire to be like Him. And that desire just characterizes the way you live your life. You're trying to be just like Jesus. You know, I think about that, and I think about training horses. How did I learn to train horses? I just followed in my daddy's footsteps. See, wherever daddy went, that's where I went. I just wanted to be like daddy. So whatever daddy was doing with the horse, I just imitated it. And lo and behold, a few years went by, and I was doing the things that my daddy was doing. That's what it's supposed to be like in a Christian life. We ought to be doing the things our daddy's doing. We ought to want to imitate him. And if you have no desire to be like Jesus, how can you claim to be abiding in the light? And then Peter writes, add to godliness brotherly kindness. That simply means we are to love our brothers and sisters in the family of God. And then Peter writes, add charity. And that means something entirely different from brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness is for the believer, but charity is for the lost person outside the family of God. We're to love the sinner and hate the sin the same as God does. But loving a sinner does not mean that we get down and participate in their sins. Rather, we love the sinner by sharing with them the blessed truth of the Word of God. You see, the God-ordained way that we share our love for the lost is by caring enough to win them to Christ. That's what it means to be abiding in the light. Now watch this, verse 8. He goes on and he writes, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Peter's not talking about the externalities of religion, nor is he speaking about rituals and rules. He's speaking about that which is inside the Christian who is abiding in the light. The very reason that we have escaped the corruption that's in the world is because we are partakers of His divine nature. He writes, if these things be in you. What things? All the things we've just mentioned. Faith and courage, knowledge and self-control, godliness, love of the brethren, charity toward the outsider. All of these things are to be within us. And if they are, they will make us fruitful Christians, whose lives testify of God's work of grace in them. But you know, none of this is going to happen if we're not found abiding in the light. Then finally, Peter touches on something that is very important, and that is the sterility in the lives of many Christians today. Verse 9, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. In other words, their lack of enthusiasm for the Christian life results in sterility that eventuates in their not being sure that they're even saved. And this gets right back to what we said all along in this series of messages. We are to do as God commands and examine ourselves. If you have the idea, like so many do today, that you can live a careless Christian life and still be a Christian and know it, you're dead wrong. See, God's saying that's not even possible. Now, you may be a Christian, but God says you're not going to know it. And I've met many a Christian today who believes in the security of salvation, but they do not have the assurance of their salvation. I've heard many Christians say, I hope when I die, I hope I get to go to heaven. They don't have the assurance of their salvation. Friends, security is objective. Assurance is subjective. And God says you and I are to know that we're saved and have the assurance of our salvation, which is why Peter concludes, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Now let's wrap this up. All of us know there are those times when our assurance can be disturbed. But God is sharing with us that our assurance will be disturbed if we are not living the examined life, being certain of our salvation by the life we live before God. Family and friends, Christ has done everything he can to save us and to keep us. But for your Christian life and my Christian life to have meaning, to be meaningful, you've got to work at it. You've got to be diligent at it. You've got to have a desire to grow. You've got to have a desire to be in the Word of God. You know, I've been married for 43 years, and I never have to lie in bed at night and wonder if I'm married. But if I'm to make my marriage and my beautiful wife work, I got to work at it every single day. And all you wives can say, amen. You can even go so far as to say, amen, brother, preach it. Listen, many a Christian has gotten into sin because he or she stopped working on their Christian life. Simply because they either never started or they just stopped abiding in the light. Have you started abiding in the light on a daily basis? Or have you stopped abiding in the light? That's for you to decide. God already knows. He moves amongst us, examining hearts. Can I encourage you to do what the prodigal son did? If you've not been abiding in the light, will you say, I will arise and go to my father and climb on up out of that pig pen and come home? We have these great and precious promises of God. Can I encourage you this morning to give all diligence? You be found walking in the light. You be found abiding in the light. You be found walking in your daddy's footsteps every single day. Because if you're found walking in your daddy's footsteps every single day, I can guarantee you this. When the world outside looks at you, they're going to see Jesus. Because you're going to be different from them. And the Bible tells us we're to be sure of our election and our calling. How can any of us be sure if we're not found abiding, growing, and desiring to be just like Jesus? Father, we thank you for your word unto us this morning. Oh, Lord, as that song was sung this morning, Father, I just picked up my Bible. And I just pictured that Bible just being placed right in my heart. And oh, Lord, as I've heard this message and preached this message and worked on this message this week, Lord, I just pictured my Bible being right in my heart. Oh, Lord, help us to grow in all the graces and help us to live out the precious promises that you have given unto us. Oh, Lord, may every one of us hold on to our Bible dearly. May we be in it daily. May we be growing and becoming more like Jesus every day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Brother Marty, you want to lead us in song?
Stand, please. I have decided to follow Jesus. 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 No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back, no turning back. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.
Brother Steve, I'm going to ask if you'll come and close our service in prayer. And you have a wonderful Labor Day holiday. May God bless you abundantly more than you could ever ask, hope, or think. Brother Steve.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we truly thank you for the message we've heard today. We, God, need to examine our own hearts and our own walk in your family as one of your children, God, to see if we are as you would require us to be. I hope and pray, God, that we each one grow each and every day to make ourselves a better servant for you in all that we do. We thank you for this opportunity you've given us to sit together and to hear the word preached, and we, I hope and pray, God, will leave here and share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it's in his name we ask and pray these things. Amen.